It is day 31. And if you're like me, you're mind blown that we made it this far. I am super grateful that you've come on this journey with me. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for reading. Most importantly, thank you for being a Seeking Excellence supporter. I hope this was very fruitful for your life. I hope that it bore a lot of fruit in your spiritual life, in your relationship with God, in your understanding of our enemies. Most importantly, that was what this was all about, right? Was diving deep into how we can tackle these enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and understanding just the powerful impact that the devil has in our lives. We don't know, obviously, if this is true. We don't know that if, like, we get assigned guardian angels, if we get assigned demons at our birth from the underworld. But it is interesting to think about the ways that the demons do strategize, the way that they do operate in the world. We know from Catholic exorcists and fathers that priests that work in you know, expelling demons from people's lives and dealing with people who are possessed or obsessed or whatever it might be. We know that they have strategy. We know that the demons do work together. We know that they're intentional in the things that they do. We know that, similar to what Screwtape describes here, they work on big projects, right, in moving societies and shifting cultures, as well as in small ways by just infiltrating our personal lives, infiltrating our thoughts and our minds and our lives, and just kind of guiding us and nudging us in different directions other than what God has planned for us. In this last chapter, obviously in chapter 31, we see that the patient has made it to heaven. He's reached that eternal glory. He's reached that final resting place that all of us hope to reach someday once we've died. And you get to hear Screwtape lamenting over his nephew's failure, over Wormwood's failure to get the patient to give up on his faith, to abandon God, and ultimately to coax him into hell for all of eternity. And he fails at this, which is awesome. And we wanted to see that, right? We love that this story has a happy ending. I think is really, really a great thing. But I hope that throughout this experience, you, similar to how I felt, is you just have this better awareness of what's going on in your life. We have this better awareness of virtues and vices. We have a better awareness of what really matters, in a sense, right? I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways that I've mentioned multiple times is just this idea that the demons have convinced us that death is the ultimate evil and survival the ultimate good, right? But really, if we keep in mind this eternal perspective and we break out, right, this is what prayer ought to do for us. It ought to help us to take a step back and think eternally rather than always thinking temporally, right? Always thinking within the limitations of time. When we think about our deadlines and our schedules and homework or assignments or whatever, you know, performance review at work, whatever it might be for you, when you think about all these different things, it's so easy to be just bound and obsessed and caught up always in this life here on earth. But if we remember that we are pilgrims on a journey, that this is not our home, that ultimately we were designed for an eternal destination to be in heaven, glorifying God forever, that changes everything, right? The demons and the angels operate exclusively in that realm of thinking because they know about eternity. They know the full glory and the goodness of God. They know that this here, this life on earth, this is not all there is. It's very far from it, actually. And the things that we do in this life, they do matter. It doesn't mean to say that life on earth doesn't matter, but this is our time where we decide where we're going to end up in all eternity. This is the ultimate purpose of our lives, is that God gives us the opportunity to choose him or to choose ourselves, to choose the devil, to choose evil, to choose the opposite of him. Or we can choose him. We can choose to live with him eternally if we choose to be faithful here on earth. And we choose to lay our lives down and give our lives over to him because we know that he wants all of us. And we recognize in this book as well many great stories of how patient God is with us. We stumble and fall. We struggle with doubts and setbacks and obstacles and adversity. And that's part of the game, right? God knows that that's part of our journey and that we're going to have these challenges and these issues that pop up throughout life. But it's about getting back up. We, thanks be to God, are Catholic, most of us. And we have the great sacrament of confession, reconciliation, where we can go back, confess our sins to God, even when we've fallen in the most egregious of ways. And God allows us to get back up. He allows us to have another chance, eagerly and excitedly welcomes us home, and then gives us what we need to go out and try to do better and try to be better. And we fail and we get back up, and we do this over and over again throughout our lives. And that's what being faithful is all about. It's about remembering God's mercy, remembering God's plan for our lives. And even when we deviate from it, returning back to it as soon as we can, fervently, right? With serious commitment, not just, you know, half-heartedly coming back or just paying lip service to whatever we think God wants us to say or do, but actually giving our lives, giving our hearts over to the Lord. That is what God is calling us to. It's what God wants from us. And so when we know that, it makes it a lot easier to do these things, to make the decisions. When we come to the forks in the road, right? When we come to these different decisions that we inevitably have to make in life, it becomes a lot easier to make the right decision when we keep in mind this eternal reality. That reminds me of another great line from a different C.S. Lewis writing. Emily would know what book it is. This is one of her favorite things. I can't remember, though, what it is. It might be Mere Christianity, but in one of the C.S. Lewis books, he basically talks about how you've never met a mere mortal. Every person you've met is an eternal being, right? Every person you met is immortal. Think about that. Every person you walk by on the street is going to live forever. That's a pretty crazy thing. When you think back to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years ago, human beings like dreamt about the immortals. They thought the immortal people were gods and that we all just died. And that was kind of it. There really wasn't much thought of an afterlife. I mean, you even had many Jews at Jesus' time that didn't believe in the afterlife, the Sadducees and things like that, different religious groups. But we are all immortal. You're an immortal person. God felt it necessary that the world have one of you. And you think about that, you remember who you are. You remember what God created you to be. I mean, it's very powerful. It really is moving. And I mean, I could spend time every day thinking about it. I try to spend time every day thinking about that, thinking about the plans God has for my life and what he's doing in my life. And I think it's so important to remember the opposite side of this, right? This is a beautiful insight into the darkness of the world, but we also have great goodness out there in God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, the angels, the saints are operating and working in beautiful and wonderful ways to regain your heart, to recapture your heart and your mind and your soul for heaven, because they want you in heaven much more deeply and much more strongly than the demons want you in hell, right? So I just want to finish with this one little phrase here. I think it is a great way to end it. Be your best. I think this is one of the most beautiful parts of the entire book. And so I just want to kind of close this out with reading this little passage here on page 173. But that is the cursed thing. The gods are strange to mortal eyes, and yet they are not strange. He had no faintest conception to that very hour of how they would look, and even doubted their existence. But when he saw them, he knew that he had always known them, and realized what part each one of them had played at many an hour in his life when he had supposed himself alone, so that now he could say to them, one by one, not, who are you? But so it was you all the time. All that they were and said at this meeting woke memories, the dim consciousness of friends about him, which had haunted his solitudes from infancy, was now at last explained. The central music in every pure experience, which had always just evaded memory, was now at last recovered. Recognition made him free of their company almost before the limbs of his corpse became quiet. I think this is really beautiful, and you can almost think about this too. I think from the Catholic perspective, we can think about this as well with the saints. Thinking about the saints that are active in our lives, that are calling us towards heaven, that are working in our lives, and the angels, man, we just have no idea all the good things that are on our side. And this is true for everyone. It can be hard to accept that this is true for everyone, but it is true for everyone. It's true for you. It's true for me. And even the people who are the most miserable, the people who are most far away from God in their lives, they have demons working to pull them closer to hell, and they have angels and saints, and of course, God working to pull them closer to heaven. And let us remember that we too get to be an instrument of one of those two teams in every person we encounter. Every person you interact with, every person you meet, you have the chance to either be a wormwood in their life, or you can be an angel or a saint. You can be somebody, you can't be an angel technically speaking, but you get my point. You can be a force for good, or you can be a force for evil. You can either draw them away from God, or you can push them closer to him, pull them closer to him. With your words, with your thoughts, with your actions, you get to do this. And so let's keep that in mind as well. I hope this was amazing for you. Thank you for coming along this journey with me. It's my first time doing anything like this. And so it was a great blessing in my life. Again, I hope it was a blessing in yours. I would love to hear any feedback you have on this process. You can always reach me at nathan@thosewhoseek.org. You can message me on Locals. You can message me on Instagram. If you have my phone number, you can call or text me as well. Would love to get any feedback on all of this. because it was awesome for me, and I want to make sure that it's more and more awesome for you. Just to have an idea of future book clubs, my plan for 2024 is to do two more of these, and so I'll be doing one in the spring, most likely in like April, May-ish, and then we'll do one again next November. So it'll be like, you know, kind of a spring and fall type of situation is what I'm looking to do. Interested in planning out or trying out other types, you know, trying to do something like a weekly Zoom meeting or something else that might not be a daily video or something like that. I'm probably going to pick something with less chapters next time if I do a video or a weekly video or something like that. But if you have any book suggestions or ideas for how you think that would work, if you think you would have enjoyed meeting on Zoom once a week over the last, you know, 6 weeks to just talk through the book, be able to converse about it and share what was standing out to you and hear other people's insights, please let me know, because if we have enough interest in that, I'd be happy to do that and to facilitate something like that. But yeah, very much looking forward to doing more of these, and hope to hear your feedback and hope that it was a blessing for you. All right. God bless you. We'll see you soon.